Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So we want to welcome. Sorry, we want to welcome everybody to the third session of empathic communication. And we're going to do a little exercise, a little empathic exercise, in the beginning of this session. It's going to be a little unusual. And let me explain this. For the last few days, now I'm going to show you what vulnerability is. So for the last few days, I've been in a little anxiety. Not about the seminar. The seminar is fun. It's a lot of fun. But about one of my godbrothers who's very dear to me and very dear to all of you. And his health is not very good, as you know. Of course, that's Satchinanda Maharaj. So what we're going to do today, to help relieve my anxiety, let me take out my phone recorder. So my MP3 recorder. Whoops. So to help relieve my anxiety and to help with Vaishnavas, we want to do an exercise in focusing attention, praying to Krishna, and sending, you know, Satchinanda Maharaj all of our love. Everybody knows what love is? No. Okay. Let me explain what love is, because love doesn't really mean anything. So in this particular context, it means that we are praying for his health, and somehow or other we're trying to send energy from our hearts. How's that? Pretty good, isn't it? Because we all have heart energy, and that's what the seminar is all about. It's not about head energy. It's about heart energy. So we're going to, in this light, we're going to do a little bit of a meditation. And maybe some of you will go into a little bit of a trance in the meantime. I don't know if you can see. Of course, there's a picture of Satchinanda Maharaj. And we all know how dear he is to Krishna and Srimati Radharani and to Srila Prabhupada. So we all have this heart energy. And to get more heart energy, what are we going to do? We're going to think of our worshipable deity. Every one of you has a worshipable deity, right? That means some of you may be Hanuman Bhaktas. Is anyone a Hanuman Bhakta here? Okay. The fighters. Especially one of the devotees who showed his muscles yesterday. He's a Hanuman Bhakta. And how many of you are Bhaktas of Radha and Krishna? How many of Lord Chaitanya? How many of Lord Nrsimhadev? Who else did I miss? Oh, Lord Ramchandra and Sita. Okay. So as you can tell, I had my hand up through the whole thing. So I want you to... Actually, first of all, we should close our eyes. And just relax completely. And so as we close our eyes and relax completely, I want you to relax each and every part of your body, beginning with your feet. All the muscles in your feet, and you gradually go up through your legs, knees, thighs, every single muscle relax. Waist, chest, and out to the ends of your arms, your fingertips. Completely and utterly relaxed. And up to the neck, relax all the neck muscles. Mouth completely relaxed. Eyes and eyelids completely relaxed. Forehead and top of the head completely relaxed. All the muscles completely relaxed. So I want you to visualize your worshipable deity, whether it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hanuman, Sita, Ram, Radha, Krishna, Giri Govardhan, and picture your worshipable deity sitting in the heart region of your body. Now I want you to pray to the worshipable deity in your heart. Pray for the health of Satchinanda Maharaj and ask your worshipable deity to send energy directly to Satchinanda Maharaj's heart, so he can recover his full health. And so you visualize or imagine that energy coming from your heart, from that worshipful deity, going through time and space, and reaching the heart of Satchinanda Maharaj. And Satchinanda Maharaj becoming very, very healthy, energetic, living very, very long life to serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and enliven all the devotees of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So picture there is this power, this love power coming from your heart. This great affection, this great love coming from your heart and entering into the heart of Satchinanda Maharaj. And just, we'll meditate on that for 1/2 a minute. Just, we'll keep silent while we're doing this. Just meditate on that, and you can breathe deeply. You notice your breathing will get deeper and deeper. And so, 30 seconds, we'll just be silent. Okay, my dear Lord Krishna, my dear Krishna Balaram, my dear Giri Govardhan, my dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord Nityananda, my dear Hanuman, my dear Sitaram, please give full health and strength to Satchinanda Maharaj. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody open your eyes. And we'll continue with the seminar. Okay. Okay. That's a very powerful exercise. That's called heart transplant. Okay? See? Empathy. That's what empathy is. Empathy is being completely in contact, completely aware, and completely caring. Caring, aware, contact. Okay? So, now, we'll continue with the seminar. What I thought today, now let me explain what we're going to be doing. All right. First of all, I received some comments from some expert devotees, who shall remain nameless, like mother-in-law. So, who said that some of the things may be confusing for everyone, and everyone may be thinking that we're presenting so much information. How can I possibly remember this information? Everybody, every time I talk to someone, I'm going to have my computer with me. Or keep a friend just to remind me to follow everything. So many concepts. Well, what I'm going to show you right now before we start this next chapter, there's only 8 things you've got to remember. Nothing else. Just 8 things. And they're all easy to remember. There's the 4 blocks. Maybe you can see that there in the corner. Denial, diagnosis, denial, demand, deserve. And the 4 components. Observing something without judging. Vulnerably expressing your feelings or understanding the feelings of others. Expressing your needs or understanding the needs of others. And making requests or hearing requests free of demands. That's all there is to it. Everything else is practice. 4 things that block us from loving exchanges with others. And I'm going to go over them very quickly right now. When you diagnose someone, like you say, you're stupid, you're an idiot, or even you're good or good or wonderful. Denial means denying responsibility for your own feelings and emotions. Like I say, for example, you are making me feel angry. Or taking responsibility for others' emotions. Demand means when I ask you for something, and if you don't give it, I get angry, I make a guilt trip, and I make your life miserable. Just like I got a letter from someone today. They said, this person is just demanding too much of my time. And when I say that I don't have that time, I can't do it, she just cries and cries and cries and cries and cries. Any of you men ever experienced that? Raise your hand if you're bold enough to admit it. Okay, good. I'm not going to ask the ladies. Because most of the times the men don't cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Okay. And the last one is deserve that blocks communication. That means you offended me, you deserve to go to hell. Something like that. Okay, that's the 4 blocks. And the 4 components, just to review. Okay. Okay. And the four components, just to review, are to observe someone, observe something or someone without passing judgments, to understand your feelings from the heart, to be vulnerable, just like I gave you a demonstration of how I was expressing my feelings from the heart about Satchinananda Maharaj. I'm not afraid of expressing my feelings, even if everyone else says, you're a sentimental old fool. Of course, he said boring old man before. So I'm just giving him more insults. Okay. And then understand our basic needs in the categories you see here. And then finally, learn how to request something of someone without demanding they do it. Okay? And that's the whole course right there. Just those 8 points. The blocking points and the steps of connecting with someone. That's it. Simple. Okay. So let's start in the next. We hope to finish this today, and when we finish this, we have something very exciting the next few days. This is the last day of the PowerPoints. That means the last day of projecting things. So the next day, tomorrow, will be just dramatic performances. Not Ramayan or any of that spiritual stuff. But we're going to be asking different devotees for different difficult communication circumstances they've had. And the devotees will be coming up and presenting them to me in a drama or to Brajabihari in a drama for all of you to see. And you'll see empathic communication in action. And the day after that, we're going to learn something so important. We're going to do exercises on how to say no. You may think that's hard. But we teach you not to say no, but how to say no so people appreciate it. And that's one of the hardest things. Yeah, because if you ask me for something and I just say no, you feel offended or hurt. And the last day, we're going to understand how to give appreciation. We're going to have exercises. The next 3 days are fully exercises. None of this computer junk. The last day, we're going to understand how to appreciate each other. So everyone is going to have someone they appreciate, and they're going to come right up here, and the person being appreciated is going to sit here, and the person given the appreciation is going to sit right there, and they're going to tell the other person how much they appreciate them using this particular language. That's pretty interesting. And you'll see some tears that day. Okay? Okay, so that's the plan for the rest of the seminar. So let's start with this episode. Okay, just a brief overview. We're shifting what we call an old paradigm to the new paradigm from the heart. We're going to learn to think from the heart. Not from the brain, not from the tongue. Most people think from the tongue. Anyway, so think from the heart. So what is required to transform the old to the new? We're going to build a new system of language, which is the four components you saw before. And basically, these four components bring what's alive in our hearts and bring us an awareness of what's alive in other people's hearts. And we connect heart to heart. This is really heart talk. If you men don't get upset with this, you know. It's not just like touchy-feely, you know, stuff. It's practical. Because even men like to connect in the heart. Except for Trivikram, he likes... Trivikram likes this type of connection. His heart is out here, you know. I'm just teasing. You have to have a sense of humor. So we have to connect in the heart, and we see what's working, we see what's not working, and we're building bridges with others. And then again, four components: observation. And observation means that we don't evaluate. Observation means that when we see something happening, let's say you're talking during class. Let's say Bhakta Bharut is talking during class. So evaluation would mean I would say something like, "You are obnoxious." But that's an evaluation. Observation would be, "You talked for 3 minutes during my class this morning." Just neutral. Okay. We're not going to go over this chart. Can't see it anyway. So there's generalizations, and labels are also negative as far as observations. Like if we say, if someone did something wrong, let's say someone made a mistake, he was driving the car and he turned left instead of right, and we said to him, "You're an incompetent driver." That's not an observation. I mean, that is not an observation, it's an evaluation. Okay? So, we don't need to go over this. And also when we use the words seldom and always are actually evaluations instead of observations. When we say, "You're always late for class. You seldom come for class." But an observation would be, "Yesterday you came 5 minutes late for class." Very specific and very much with time. Okay, let's go. We don't need to go over this one. Let's take a closer look. Here's an exercise. So remember, we're going to do an exercise together now. And you're going to answer these questions. People are going to raise your hand. You're going to raise your hands. And these particular statements, I'm going to ask you if they're observations or evaluations. Remember, observation means just a neutral statement about what happened at a specific time, what a person did at a specific time. Evaluation means basically going to the head and making a judgment about it.
Another way, Maharaj, sometimes to look at it, as far as I can see, is that when you evaluate, it's usually coming from rajas and tamas. And when you're just observing, you even feel more sattvic, because you're just, like you said, just in almost in a detached way, just saying what you observe without adding some of the lower modes to the to try to interpret the action.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Another way would be like observing something on the television, just neutral, it's not part of life, versus evaluating something that happens to you in an interaction with someone that affects you emotionally. Okay. So we're not going to do this as a writing exercise. We're going to do this as a hand-raising exercise. So we're going to decide. I'm going to ask you first, is each one by one, an evaluation or an observation? John was angry with me yesterday for no reason. Who thinks it's an observation? Okay. Who thinks it's an evaluation? Can someone...
Who doesn't think?
Who doesn't?
Some, a lot of them didn't raise their hand.
Okay. All right. We're asking. Let's go over it again. Observation means, as Raja Bihari said, from the mode of goodness. It doesn't affect you. You're just looking and seeing what happens without passing judgment. Okay. So here again. John was angry with me yesterday for no reason. Is that just a pure listing of the facts? Or is it a judgment? What? Who thinks it's just a pure listing of the facts? Raise your hand. Two people. Who thinks it's a judgment? Very good. Very good. Okay. Who can explain it to me? Okay. What's wrong? Why is it? It is a judgment, but explain to me why it is a judgment.
Because he says for no reason. That's observation.
Yeah, that's a judgment.
That's a judgment, yes.
And there's another thing, too. There's one other thing in there, yeah.
He says also angry.
Because you don't know whether he was angry or not because you don't know what's going on in someone else's brain and heart.
Switch mics so that I can...
Yeah. Okay? Does everyone understands that? We said angry, that's a judgment. No reason. We don't know. Okay, two. Yesterday evening, well, let's change your name. Nityananda Das bit his fingernails while watching TV. I don't know what the hell he was watching TV for, but... So, remember, we're looking to see whether this is just a pure observation without judgment, or we're making judgment on that. Who thinks it's just a pure observation? Good. Who thinks we're passing judgment on Nityananda Das or Nancy's? Good. That's very good. This is obvious. Because she bit her fingernails and she was watching TV. And it was yesterday. There's a time, circumstance, exact thing that happened. He's not saying it was bad. It was moochy. Isn't that what we would say as devotees? Yesterday, Nityananda was very moochy. Because he bit his fingernails. Or he was in anxiety. That's judgment. Okay. Here. Shyamashundar didn't ask for my opinion during the meeting. Is that an observation or a judgment? Everybody thinks it's an observation, raise your hand. Everybody thinks it's a judgment, raise your hand. Why is it a judgment? Can anyone answer why it would be a judgment?
Maybe because he's saying Sam didn't ask for my opinion, so he didn't ask for my opinion. So why would he ask for my opinion?
No, that's good, but basically it's an observation. He just didn't do that activity, right? You're going very deep. You're actually trying to go deeper into it than just the statement. Here there is. My father is a good man. Observation? Anyone thinks it's an observation? Anyone who thinks it's a judgment? It's a judgment. Because what is the word that's judgmental here? Good. And it's... There's several things. It's not a specific time. Because usually, unless someone is a pure devotee, they're not always good. Right? Someone's a pure devotee, always good. So if your father is a pure devotee, then we're not talking about this statement here. But if he's not, sometimes he acts properly and sometimes improperly. All right. Okay, a few more. Jayananda works too much. I'm changing some of the names there. Is that an observation? Judgment. Okay, that's good. It's obvious judgment. Why? Can anyone explain why it's a judgment? Yeah, it's too much. How? Can anyone tell me how to express that as an observation? All right, go. Yeah. Yeah. So you make an observation. Jayananda worked, you know, from 8 in the morning till 9 at night yesterday. You don't want to say always, because always is also judgmental. So specific time, specific circumstance, no diagnosis. A few more. Henry, what's a good spiritual name? Haridas is very aggressive. Aggressive. You know what aggressive means? So, is that an observation or judgment? Judgment. Okay. Good. It's good. These exercises are good. All right. What's a good spiritual name for her? Purnamasi? Purnamasi was first in line every day this week for prasadam. Purnamasi was first in line every day this week for prasadam. We're frustrated with it, but is it, who thinks it's an observation? Who thinks it's a judgment? Good. Everybody's getting it. Fantastic. It's just describing what happened. She was first in line. Okay. Here's another one. My son, the doctor, doesn't often brush his teeth. No, my son doesn't. Often doesn't brush his teeth. It's a little harder. Is this an observation? Or a judgment? We got split evenly. So what do we say about often, always? It's judgmental. Because we have to describe. Observation means always specific. You know, what you said, what you did, when you did it, exactly. Or just like in some movies they say, what is it? Just the facts, ma'am. Have you heard that expression? No, you never heard that expression. Don't go to the movies. So, here's another one. Luke, what's a good spiritual name for that? Lilananda's talking to his wife. Lilananda told me, I don't look good in yellow. So he's talking to his wife, Lilavati. Lilananda's talking to his wife, Lilavati. And so Lilavati says, Lilananda told me I didn't look good in yellow. This is hard. Is this an observation? Good. Who thinks it's a judgment? Okay. It's an observation because it's Lilananda or Luke is mentioned here is making a judgment, but the statement itself is not a judgment because Lilavati is just saying what Lilananda said, right? So this is a little tricky. The statement itself is just describing what her husband said. That's it. And finally, my aunt complains when I try to preach to her. Who thinks it's an observation? Who thinks it's a judgment? We're evenly split there. It's a judgment, not an observation. Because why? We got that word complains. That's a judgmental word. Instead, we would say, my aunt talks for 5 minutes when I talk to her, or she says such and such words when I talk to her. Okay? Okay, here's an interesting class. We're all going to do this. Now, this is an individual exercise, and some of you are going to share this with us. So, everyone, think of a person who behaves in a way that drives you crazy. It can be your husband, your wife, your children, your temple president. Doesn't matter. Now, write down one thing, without judging that person, write down one thing the person does as an observation that you don't like. Another one thing he or she or it, the dog, you know. I guess a dog is he or she too, right? Generally, sorry. Unless they're neutered. So one thing he, she, or it does at a specific time without judgment, just observing. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Let's say it's a temple president. Yesterday, my temple president told me, "You're in Maya Prabhu." That's an observation. Yeah, or if I say, "My temple president is always telling me I'm in Maya," that's a judgment. Just to give you an idea. He's obviously not always telling you you're in Maya, because he sleeps sometimes. And he eats sometimes. Right? He does other things with his life, I hope. Okay. So we'll give you about a minute to write that down. Raj, you want to take care of the feedback on that? Or? Yeah, I mean, you know the science of this. Or I can do the microphone. And you can do the...
Yeah. We have to give him a minute.
Okay. We have to give everybody a minute. Yeah, then comment on it, how it is an observation.
I mean, if we were Martian, we'd be using the puppets.
Right. 30 seconds more.
Yeah. Then if it's okay. Okay, if it's frequent, write down one time. It happened. You don't have to write down, he did it last Sunday, last Tuesday, on January 23rd at 3 p.m. He did this just one time. And you don't have to get the exact time. You say last week or 2 weeks ago, he said or he did this. Just the facts.
You never heard that one?
Till Friday.
Yeah. Just the facts. Yeah. Just write down one time, one specific thing. If every time, there must be at least one time. Yeah. That's the funny thing. If you say every time someone did something and you can't think of one time, what does that say? Even if every time they see you, they kick you. That's all right. I mean, it's not all right. But... But at least write down one time that they kicked you without judging. They kicked me in the feet. Not that they were mean and they kicked me in the feet. They kicked me in the feet.
Okay.
Okay, Brush is going to leave this one and I'll go around. And we'll give people the microphone. Ready, Brush?
First devotee who would like to...
Anybody like to share their observations?
Do I have to say the name of the person? Or
no.
He told me religious people are stupid.
Okay.
Last month.
So last month, he told you that religious people are stupid. Is that observation or judgment? Oh, very good. A judge-servation.
Everyone wants to be right.
Right. Those who think that it's an observation, please raise your hand. And those who think it's a judgment. Okay.
You want to explain that?
Yeah, well, sorry, say it one more time, please.
Last week he told me religious people are stupid.
Okay, so last week, that's fine, right? He told me, right, that religious people are stupid. So where is the judgment there? The person who told him may have been making a judgment, but he wasn't. He got it right. He didn't. He just said what happened as an observation. The person who said it may have been making a judgment, but it's an observation. Very good.
Very good.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, another observation. Yeah.
When she saw me yesterday, how I cooked, she wanted me to cook by her, on her way, by her recipes, you know.
Hmm. Okay. When
you wanted to repeat that? To the
yeah, yeah. Say it one more time.
When she saw me how I cooked yesterday, she wanted that I cook on her way.
Okay. Did you catch that? When she saw her cooking yesterday, she wanted her to cook in her way.
Her way.
Okay. Is that a observation or a... Well, how many think that that's an observation? How many think that that's a judgment? Okay, Maharaj, could you explain why you think it's a judgment?
Because you're judging what she was thinking. You're saying she wanted something, but you don't know what she wanted. All you know is what she said. Right. Unless you're a mind reader. We have some mind readers back there. If you were Lalita, you could actually make that statement in truth.
Right.
Because she knows she's a psychic.
Okay. I'll be careful what I think then.
Yeah, be careful.
Okay. But so then what you could do, Mataji, what you could
express it as an observation.
Yeah, so what could you do to just... You could just say something like, when she saw me cooking yesterday, she said, then that would just be an observation.
Yeah.
Okay?
Ask her to express it.
Yeah, do you want to, why don't you...
Can you express it as an observation now?
Yeah. Like, he just told me now. When I saw her, when she saw me how I cooked yesterday, she said I should do that on her way, by her way.
Okay, if that's what she said, great. Next.
Next, any other volunteers? Mother Ermala.
Oh, she's going to make up a hard one.
Yeah, this is going to be really hard. This is a real test.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to do a test. I was going to do a real one.
Okay.
Sannyasi said this.
Yeah, when that beer Christmas... No.
When the only sannyasi in the camp said this.
when Krishnadas told me that... he wanted me to do a service and that he was going to provide a car, internet, a computer, and facility to ride on the train, and 5 people to assist me. But when I came to do the service, none of those things were there, and I had to request about 4 times every week for 1 month until I received those things.
Wow.
That was a book.
The whole book.
Yeah. Okay, it's that sounded pretty observational to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Very good.
One or two more?
Yeah, one or two more, then we go on. Come on, volunteers! Yeah, okay.
At my job, I have a new coworker, and he's really young, and he asked me so many things when he started working. So my observation is, actually, I was annoyed by his question. So my observation is that first 3 months of a job, he had many questions.
First 3 months of the job, he had many questions. Okay? Now, the tricky word there is the word many. Because what, again, it's a judgment. You're judging how many questions makes many. For you, 50 questions. For me, 2 might be many. Right? So it might be, in the last 3 months, he asked a minimum of 3 questions per day, or something like that. But it's interesting, before you said that sentence,
yeah,
when you explain to us the situation, you use all kinds of judgments.
Yeah, I know.
Did you notice that?
I was really annoyed, yes.
Yes, you were annoyed. Yeah, okay.
He was angry.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, last one.
Last one.
Okay, Mataji in the back there.
Where?
Right there, standing up.
Praveen. No more Matajis.
Well, there goes the whole subcontinent of India.
I don't like when he interrupts my conversation.
Could you say that again, please?
I don't like when he interrupts my conversation.
You don't like when he interrupts your
conversation with another person.
Interesting. How many of you think that that was a judgment? And how many of you think that was an observation? And how many of you don't think? Because a lot of you didn't raise your hand. Okay, there's some honest people. Yeah, Maharaj, you take this one. I'm a little...
So, it's actually partially a judgment because it's not a time... Remember we talked about specific time?
All right.
It's not a time, and we don't know if his intention was to interrupt. There's two things going on there. Interrupt. You are interrupting me. That is actually, you're partially, at least partially, a judgment. And you have to have everything with a specific time, place, circumstance. Or even you can say, over the last 3 months, this happened every day. That's fine. But everything has to be very, very, very specific. Time, place, circumstance. Don't attribute any thoughts or emotions to that person because you cannot read his mind.
And you'll see as we go through the other steps that there's a reason why this is so important.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you pass judgment, right, or when you generalize too much, then it's very easy for the other person to say, that's not true. Right? But when you're just stating the facts as you observe them, people become less defensive.
Right. So I'll give you an example of that. Like if I say to Braja that, all right, like say I'm talking and he interrupts me. I said, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, interrupt me.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna, I got to go right now.
You're interrupting
me. No, I don't interrupt you. I'm just trying to tell you the facts.
But you're interrupting
me.
I was trying to get
I'm not
in an argument
you.
Right
no.
there. If I'm passing judgment saying he's
interrupting
me.
What are you saying? Oh, should I stop?
That's a problem. a judgment would be, you know, just an observation would be, you know, you just started speaking while I was speaking. You know. But interrupting is like a harsh judgment on someone. You are interrupting me. Think of what you feel when someone says that to you. That's another way of understanding judgments. How you would feel if someone said that to you. Think of it. That's a different angle of judgment.
Or if somebody says, you know, you're really obnoxious. That's different than saying, last week when I was trying to explain to you how I felt about something, it was very difficult for me to say anything because you kept, because you were talking so much. Or
yeah,
whatever.
So much.
So much. Not that you were talking when I was trying
but
to talk.
You screamed in the middle. You know, not screaming is also a judgment. But you called out, you answered your mobile phone in the middle of my whole presentation. You know, that's neutral. Okay?
Better.
So, second component, remember the first one was observation, free from judgment? Because judgment is one, same thing as diagnosis, something that blocks us from communicating with people. It always blocks us. Whenever I pass judgment, I can even give you an example when I do with a judgmental word right now. Okay? Even I'm going to use a good judgmental word on Buddha right now. You are good. Good boy. Good boy, Buddha. I'm just asking, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good when I say you are good. That's a judgment. But if I'll give you a practical way to be nice to him without treating him like your pet dog. You know, yesterday when you brought me my water, I wanted to thank you very much because I was very thirsty and needing water. That feels good, doesn't it? But just to say you're good, then that's going to be our whole chapter on appreciation too. Appreciation, even appreciation is done without judgment. You understand? Because you're appreciating for specific things that contribute to your life and to your heart. Like if your spiritual master is always saying, good disciple, good disciple, good disciple. Good, good, good girl. Roll over. That's what we call a domination culture. Beg. Like that. You know, but appreciation should always be specific without, even appreciation without diagnosis. All right, let's get on to the next chapter. Feelings. All you ladies will feel good about this. Feelings. And all you men, learn how to be vulnerable. Express your feelings. Cry. We're going to do a crying exercise now. Who has the tissues? This is all element. When I count down from 5 to 0, no. Ladies are Raghunuga practitioners of that art. The men, we have to engage in the Vaidhi crying. Okay. So, let's stop. Uh-oh. What are you feeling right now? Remember, basic feelings? And actually, let's go over a few more feelings. You want to do this one? Or maybe I should write? Or what? What are you all feeling right now? Feeling from the heart. What? Feeling. Okay. Any feelings? You're just all dulled out or? What? Calmness. Wow. You are very calm. And you will get calmer as the seminar goes on. And your eyelids are getting heavier and heavier. Okay. What's the next one? What other feelings? Joy! Wow. How do you go? If someone's bored, be honest. Yeah. What? Anticipation. Okay, that's good. You're anticipating. Order? Order? Stop? Oh, you're feeling blocked. Okay, got it. Order. Oh, you're used to the military type of thing. Stop! Fight! At ease. Okay, next one. Oh, no, sorry. It wasn't meant as a command. It was meant, let's just stop for a second and get in touch with our feelings. Okay, who else is in touch with their feelings back there? Yeah. Amused. That's good. Yeah. Tired. Honest man there. Any other feelings? What? Hot. A lot of people are hot here. One or two more feelings. Relaxed? What was that? Was that relaxed? What else? Anyone else? One more feeling. Enlightenment. Enlightened. Okay. Enlivened. Okay. Okay. See how many feelings there are? And they come from the heart. And they shouldn't, feelings should never come from, they don't come from the brain. When they come from the brain, it ain't feelings. Like, you know, you can even use the same expression, like, I feel that you're an idiot. I feel that you're an offender. Are those feelings? No. You use the word feel, but it's not feelings. And you don't even need to use the word feel to express your feelings. You could just say, I'm hot, I'm angry, Gokul Chandra's sleeping. That's not a feeling. That's an observation. No, it's not. It's a judgment because he might be just in meditation. His eyes are closing. You know, observation would be his eyes are closing. Okay. That's just to give you an idea about feelings. It's coming from the heart. Forget about the brain. Okay? And we did that already? All right. A few more points, and then we'll get into the exercise. Hopefully, if you... Oh. It's interesting that... We have a large vocabulary of words for calling people bad names. You know, idiot, jerk, fallen, jackass, nonsense, Maya and Maya. You know, so many words, but our words for feelings are not that much. We need to develop more of a vocabulary for feelings because... Just like colors, there are unlimited numbers of feelings. Self-preservation? I don't know what it has to do with self-preservation, but it's just the point. I tell you what it has to do with self-preservation. I was just joking. Is it that we don't want to be vulnerable? That's the point. That we don't, we're protecting ourselves from being hurt. So therefore we limit our words that we use to describe feelings. Most of the times we just have two words, what? I feel good. I feel bad. I feel really good. I feel really bad. I feel happy. I feel sad. I feel mad. I feel glad. What? This is so limited. Feelings are like the colors in the spectrum. How many basic colors do we have? Three. And you combine them, for how many colors can you get out of that? Unlimited shades, colors. And so we have to learn how to develop more words, bigger language for our feelings, okay? And if we don't express our feelings, it's a very heavy cost. And the heavy cost is not described here, but we can actually get sick. If we block our feelings, like if you're feeling, this is something that I teach called body syndromes, which means if you're feeling something and you don't express it, it can get expressed in the body. For example, if I feel... I'll give you an example, but I don't like this example, but I'll give it to you anyway. So I go to GBC meetings. And GBC meetings... Oh, I shouldn't use this expression. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'll say it anyway. Because Brajari Hari is going to report it back. For me, GBC meetings, and I never get a chance to say it, and I feel good about saying it, are a pain in a certain part of the body. That I have to sit through these meetings and sit and sit. I mean, it's useful, they're wonderful, ecstatic, But I have to sit and sit and sit and sit and sit and sit. And so I have a pain in the place where I sit. And because until this day I've not gotten a chance to express it, I developed hemorrhoids. True. I'm vulnerable, you know. Now you can go and report this on your forums and the internet. Can't believe I said that, isn't it? Mother Irma is back there shaking her head. Oh, my God. I've known her for so many years that this is too much. I've never seen that. So I know other people who just like take on the burden of the whole world and they don't express it and they start to walk like this more and more and more and they develop pain in their upper back. Depending on what sort of burden they have, it's pain in the upper back, middle back, lower back. It's a danger. Most or many bodily diseases come from mental states. We're holistic entities. One thing I teach in the Hatha Yoga seminar is that you can laugh your way out of disease many times. There have been many tests and things that have been done in the university level to show that if people feel better about themselves, about the world, and express their emotions, many of the diseases go away. Okay, that's not what this course is about. Actually, if we share our vulnerability, our emotions, our feelings, then conflict can be resolved. And conflict is also there in the internal level. Like now that I express my feelings about the GVC meetings, I feel much better. And all the pain has gone away. So, this is, we discussed already, feelings are different than thoughts. We already talked about that. We often use the word feeling when referring to thoughts. I gave some examples of that. I feel that you're an idiot. I feel as if I'm going to jump off the bridge. I feel like going for swimming. I feel I, you, he, she, or it. These are not feelings. These are coming from the mind. And when we think that the thoughts are our feelings, we become disconnected from the actual feelings and emotions. And so we're going to learn how to distinguish feelings from thoughts. And touching on the next chapter, if our needs are met, these are the sorts of feelings, we're going to have positive feelings that you see here. That's what happens if our needs are met. We're amazed, confident, energetic, glad, joyous, relieved, and proud. And if our needs are not met, why don't we do another little exercise? If our needs are not met, how do we feel? Anybody can tell me? Miserable, depressed, what? Frustrated, grouchy. Grouchy? Upset. I got a whole list here in the chair. Here's an interesting list to show you how many feelings there are if our needs aren't met. I'm just going to go over about 10 of them. And they're in alphabetical order. Hurt, impatient, indifferent, intense, irate, that means angry, irked, that means disturbed, irritated, jealous, jittery, keyed up, that means all tense, dull, ashamed, blah, blue. Blue, yeah, blue means, you know, singing the blues. You know, you ever heard of the blues? Okay. So, real quickly, we're going to go over the following statements, and we're going to ask you if they're feelings actual expressions of feelings. Right, number, well, you don't have to write it. We're going to do this verbally. I feel you don't love me. How many of you have heard that before? Anyway, everyone's heard it. So, is that a feeling? Who thinks it's a feeling? Who thinks it's a thought? Good, you're right. It's a thought. Because it's not a feeling. I feel it's a judgment, practically. Second one. I'm sad that you're leaving. Is that a feeling or a thought? Feeling? Raise your hand. Good, right. Thought? No. I feel scared when you say that. Is that a feeling? Good. Good, it's a feeling. Scared. Here's another one. Here's a tricky one. When you don't greet me, I feel neglected. Is that a feeling? Who thinks it's a feeling? Thought. Who thinks it's a thought? Good. It's a thought. Because you're passing judgment. It's in the mental thing. Neglected means you're neglecting me. Neglected is not a feeling. Okay. Yeah. When you don't greet me, I feel a lack of care. Or I feel sad. I feel sad, sorry. I feel sad. The lack of care would also be judgment. I feel sad. I feel lonely. Insecure. Neglected. Remember, any word that passes judgment on what the other person is doing, we want to avoid. I'm happy that you can come. Obviously, it's a feeling. You are disgusting. Is that a feeling? It's a thought. It's a judgment. You're disgusting. I feel like hitting you. Is that a feeling? No, obviously not. I feel misunderstood. That's thinking. Because it's coming, you're passing judgment on that. You're misunderstanding me. I feel good about what you did for me. Who thinks it's a feeling? Who thinks it's a thought? Okay. Going quickly, it's a feeling. I feel good about what you did for me. Here's another one. I am worthless. Who thinks it's a feeling? Who thinks it's a thought? Good. Everyone's getting it. It's a thought. Worthless is not a feeling. You have a need for self-worth, but it's not a feeling. Okay. Instead of saying, I feel worthless, you know, it would be like, I feel sad, I feel disconnected, something like that, because I have a need to contribute. All right. Earlier, all right, we didn't go over that. Let's just skip. Throughout the day, we should stop and think how we actually feel rather than we think. And any of you want, later on, we can give you or send you email a feelings list so you can refer to this list. And relate the feelings to your needs, met or unmet. Okay, we're going to do a group exercise. Things are going slow. Ooh. Okay. Let's do a quick exercise. Imagine, remember the person in part one, we were talking about observations you were making, an impartial observation? Imagine you're talking to that same other person. And when that person did or said something, We want to hear how you felt. In one word. One word or two words or three words maximum. And we want you to express it in this particular way. When you did da, I felt da. Or when you said da, I felt da. Okay? So we'll give you, 30 seconds? Okay. Not getting much done.
No.
But I don't think I can go any faster than this.
We'll do the other two tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not what we're going to do. Okay. Remember, feelings from the heart, not from the head.
So should I ask for something?
With time, time's up? Or?
Yeah, we got 10 seconds more. 10 more
seconds.
It's really hot today. Even with the doors open. So, do we want to say the observation and then we open them? It would be good to put them together. What do you think?
Okay, so what we would like you to do is remember the statement that you said for your observation, and hopefully it's an observation rather than a judgment, and then add the next component, the feeling. So when you said that I should cook in a certain way, I felt, right? Something like that? Okay. Okay, so who would... Who's the first volunteer?
When you locked me out of the house, I felt annoyed.
Good. Excellent.
Very good. Exactly.
Observation. And then feeling.
Feeling. Annoyed.
Next.
Anyone else? For the feeling...
You can say it in there's. You can say it in Croatian, and
yes,
Govindananda Prabhu will translate.
Anybody who's shy can say it in Croatian
or Spanish.
When you were singing today, I was feeling touched.
Good.
When you were singing today, referring to come to Arvindala, I was feeling touched in my heart.
Some ladies in the back. Oh. Good.
Sorry, I'll say in Croatian. Kad mi je to rekla, bila sam uznemirena.
Excellent. Oh.
I'm feeling insecure.
What did she say?
She said
in Croatian.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we know. We've just been teasing.
Can you translate it in English for us?
Yeah.
When you said this to me, I felt disturbed.
Okay, good.
Okay, very good. Yes, Prajalila.
When I hear your seminar, I feel grateful.
Wow. Wow. Very nice. Thank you. And now I have to respond.
Thank you.
Is it a way to receive?
No, she wasn't talking to you. She was talking to me.
Oh, okay. When I heard you say that, I felt angry because I have a need for respect. Would you be willing to get the hell out of here? Oh. Okay, so now there's a way to receive gratitude. When I heard you say that, I feel very, of course, happy, enlivened, energetic, encouraged, because I have a need for appreciation and connection, and I have a need to do concrete service for Srila Prabhupada's movement. And helping the devotees, because I know you're dedicated. I can go on and on. Because I know you're dedicated to helping the devotees from the heart. And to hear you say that in particular enlivens me a great deal, because I know of your personal dedication. So that's EC appreciation right there. Good.
Okay. Do we have time to go on to something else? Or do you want a few more?
Should we just go on to the next step? Or do you think
we have time? You don't want to rush things.
5 minutes. No, we better not go on to the next.
Okay. Maybe.
Okay, so we still have two components to deal with tomorrow. I thought we were going to get through with all the components. But the two next components are the needs and the requests free of demands. These will go rather quickly. And as soon as we finish those, as I said, we're finished with the computer and the projector and everything like that, and we can just do a lot of fun dramas here. So any questions or comments about any of the things we've gone over so far? Yes. Okay. Very, very good question. The question was raised that right now we're just working with words. And what I said in the beginning of the seminar was that only 7% of communication is words. So what are we going to do the rest of everything? Well, we can start making the change with words, because it would be very hard to teach this just if I was using non-verbal communication. So, but actually at the same time I'm using words, we're using body language up here. So you start with words, words shape the consciousness, and then you integrate it, and then it becomes the body language, tone of voice, and everything like that. It's a question of practice. It's like, you know, we talk about bhakti yoga starts with the vaidhi aspect. Now, we hear all these points that you can't achieve braja prema with vaidhi, right? If you want to get braja prema, you have to go beyond vaidhi. But the point is, by the practice, over and over again, then it becomes integrated into the heart, because the real devotional service is not performed with the gross body. The most important aspect is not the gross body, but with the subtle body, Prabhupada said. So you do something with the gross body, subtle body begins to follow after some time. So that's the principle. But later on, when we talk about appreciation, we're going to be demonstrating how you can express appreciation and communicate without saying anything. Because many times it's better just to keep our what? Mouth shut, and you can say thank you. You can say, I appreciate you, just with your eyes. Look into my eyes. We do this all the time. Anyway, so, isn't it? So, nonverbal portion, which your question is very, very good. So, one more question. Yeah. Practice. Let's take devotional habits like rising early in the morning, chanting, etc., etc., etc. You have to, and I can refer you to our expert, Mother Irma, in the back. We have these neural pathways, isn't it? She's expert at, she can teach you NLP, which will really like let you put you in touch with your, anyway, so it'll help you in your devotional service if she teaches it. But we have these neural pathways. In other words, we set certain habits, certain patterns of doing things. Let's give the example of let's say a mountain trail. When people walk on the mountain trail all the time, the trail becomes very, very distinct and it's easy to walk on it. Now, if you decide to take another path, there's all these trees and bushes and everything like that, it's very hard. But once you use that other path and have everybody else use the other path, it becomes a clearly defined path, and the other path that you were using before becomes, you know, filled with trees and bushes after some time. So habits are something like that. We have been conditioned to act by our culture, Western culture, and also the improperly applied Krishna conscious culture. We've been accustomed to act in judgmental ways with people. And that's the worn path. It's easiest for us to walk on. And now we have to forge a new path and make new habits and new patterns. And it takes a lot of practice, yes. I mean, I've been practicing this, and I slip all the time in my practice. I mean, you can ask Prajavihari, how many times do I pass judgment and yell and aggravate the devotees?
All the time.
All the time. You know, they're ready to kick me out of the GBC. I mean, what can I do? So, okay. So we got to end now because Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu is going to enliven you with Krishna consciousness. Hari Bol. To see a devotee of the Lord, one should feel what when one sees the devotee of the Lord? Joy, happy, emotions. What emotions? Ecstasy. Rolling on the ground, hair standing on end. That's why we have all the men shave. Oh, but that stands is not so much. And the women have to keep their hair tied or short, because it would be very embarrassing. Sometimes, just one funny thing. In some of the Indian movies where you see Narada Muni depicted, they have a Sikha standing up. You see that? Doesn't look so good. Okay. That's it. We want to thank you all for being so attentive in spite of the heat. Thank you. Give yourself some appreciation now. And I want to thank Prajavihari for this. We have 2 more days of the seminar. Actually, 3 more days. Yeah, 3 more days. 3 more exciting days, mostly exercises. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hey, you go. Yeah.